Especially if you're visiting us for the first time, it's great to have you here. It's sort of always this warm. But it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Who was at Hillsong last night? Have you recovered? Hopefully not too. I think there were some Hillsong hangovers this morning. Church this morning wasn't the fullest it's ever been. But a great time just lifting up God over campus. As I said a couple of times in the past, I really don't think it's by accident. Nothing to do with Hillsong. They're just agents of what God is doing, and great agents and great people and really available to God. But we started with praise and worships on campus, and just after we did that, God opened the door. It was literally just as we started organizing this year's spring day that the whole Hillsong thing started happening. And I think all that's been happening is God's been opening up a door in the spirit over campus to say, now is a time of salvation. Scripture speaks, it's a scriptural principle. It says, today is a day of salvation. You know, there are days when there seems to be a special anointing of salvation. We call those times many times revival. And we really believe that your revival is on its way to campus, that we're going to see thousands of souls come to Jesus in the next while, however long that while may be. But we'll continue to press on until every soul, not only on campus, not only in this city, not only in Gauteng, not only in this nation, but every soul in the nations have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening I'm wanting to speak about something which is pretty simple, part of Christian life. Having a victorious spirit. I want to read something here, it's not on the slides, which I looked up on the internet. It's something one of my sports coaches gave me at school. He was quite a hard man at one stage. I think it was just before we toured Australia. He brought us this 3/4 page essay that some big sports coach in America had written for a newspaper. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the first paragraph and the last paragraph. Winning is not a sometime thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. And then he finishes off and he says, I firmly believe that any man's finest hours, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is the moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. And I think there's so much truth in that. I don't know if it's our absolute greatest fulfillment, but any of us who've worked hard and spent time, invested time in a project, in a sports game, whatever it might be, and eventually that victory comes. And you're tired and you've been working hard and you just get to sit back and you experience that victory. There are few things that give us as much satisfaction and as much fulfillment as knowing that we have won that victory. And unfortunately today in the Christian walk, this victory thing, many of us clothed in a false sense of humility, strong avoidance of wanting to stay away from pride in every form, we've sort of neglected what it means to be victorious, to walk in victory. I think we all know and we can identify with some of those people, but before we do that, sorry, there's just something important that I want us to do. If we could just take hands again. Many of us know Tani Rihanna, Geraldine's mom, Geraldine and Mariette, and they're all, the whole family's in church with us. She had some form of a seizure this afternoon. We're not too sure exactly what it was. She's in hospital at the moment. Just doctors are trying to figure out what's been going on. If we can just pray, just a prayer of faith around her. Her healing. Father God, we thank you this evening that your word says that you are the God who heals all of our diseases, God, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things, and who renews our youth like the eagles, Lord. And this evening, God, we bring Tani Rihanna before you, God. We plead your blood over her, Jesus. We say your blood is sufficient. Father, we rebuke every assignment of the wicked one. Father, we speak healing over a physical body, God. And in Jesus' name, God, we say that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. Physical or spiritual, God, we declare her to be a child of the covenant, God. We declare her to be a child of the Most High. And we say that in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. We command her body to come into health. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we thank you for this evening, God, that we can come into your presence boldly, God. We thank you for your word, which is living and powerful, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have already won the victory for us. And God, we pray that tonight, God, you excite our spirits. God, we pray that tonight, Lord, you come and build faith in us, Lord. That we may carry out the victory that Jesus has already won. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I was saying that we all know and we can all identify with some people who we know are winners. It just seems as if everything they touch in their life turns to gold. It seems if we look at their lives from afar that they don't have struggles, they never have any mountains they have to cross, there's never anything that comes across their path. Looking at their life, it looks like their life's just plain sailing and they have everything easy. There's an element of truth to that, but I think there's a larger element of truth to that in that they have just simply learnt to win. In the same way, I think many of us, we can identify with people and we look at them and it's a little bit more obvious as they seem to get older and you look at their lives when they start heading towards 50, 60, 70 year olds and you look at them and you, with respect, you can't help but asking, why does everything seem to go wrong in this person's life? This is certain Tibet, bunch of people, they might have been called Murphy, because everywhere they go, things just seem to go wrong. When they get in a relationship, it gets wrong. When they get in a business, the business fails. And there might be various reasons for them, but one of them I believe is this thing I just mentioned, winning is a habit, but so is losing. Some of us early on in our lives, we grace to sort of be set on a path of winning. And yes, there are these things that come across our path, but something inside of us gives us the ability to overcome and to push on and to push through. Where some other people we might know might be in exactly the same situation. I know John T. Rhodes always says, he doesn't always say, he said it in his biography, for any of you who've read his biography. And he writes that at school, at club level, at university, at provincial level, and at national level, he played with many cricketers who were much, much better than him. More talented, more gifted, better cricket players. He says there were a number of people who were better fielders that he played with than he was. And I don't think he's being falsely humble when he says that. I think he genuinely means it. And he goes on to say, they just lacked the will to succeed. They could have done it. They could have done what he did and better. They just never had that will to succeed. And he goes on to tell a story. I don't know if I'm talking about John T. Rhodes tonight. But anyway, we're going to get to the Bible now, which is more important. He tells a story of when he was at club, playing for his club team, and they dropped him, and he was 12th man. Ladies, that's the guy who's almost in the team, but not quite. And he kind of has to carry around everyone's stuff and make sure everyone's got enough water to drink and enough cool drinks. And the changing room is neat when everyone's out. And he was 12th man for this game. And he was upset because he didn't feel that he deserved to be dropped from the team. He says he woke up in the morning and he made a decision. He said, if I'm going to be 12th man today, I'm going to be the best 12th man this club has ever had. And he says it's the last time they dropped him. He simply had learnt in whichever circumstance he finds himself in, whatever situation, whatever comes across his path, he had learnt to win. Now it's important for us, and tonight I've got good news and bad news. And since I've got the microphone, I can decide which one is first. I'm going to start with the bad news, because it just makes the story better. I'm going to start with the bad news. You guys can see it there. These things, this is Jesus speaking to you, by the way, from John chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And then he gives us this wonderful, uplifting, encouraging, edifying promise. And he says, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we did those tours around South Africa, and next year we're going to be doing a lot more mission trips again, and we're going to probably go overseas and up in Africa. We're going to get some teams to start praying over that in the holiday, and if you'd like to be involved with that. But when we were doing a whole bunch of mission trips, and once there's a good friend of mine, Duval, we had sort of an adapted form of F5, which we presented at many of the churches we worked with, because unfortunately, many churches really love God, but they struggle on the evangelism thing. For those of you that are visiting, Foundations, it's just a very simple course. Literally, it's just a foundational, 5 foundational courses, which we do. And we really trust God. At the end of that course, every person would have the basic foundations in life, specifically in Christian faith, just cemented to be able to build on from there to whatever God may have us to go. Go and every house we build is different, but something is interesting. If you get into a building, foundations are very much similar. Doesn't matter what you build on top of the ground, the foundations are pretty generic. We trust God to build foundations. Foundation 1 is just an introduction to the faith about what does it mean to be a Christian? Why do we need to serve Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so the foundations carry on. And then Foundation 5 is a basic evangelism course. And we had this adapted evangelism course because what we do, just to encourage the guys, is we go to the church and a whole bunch of their guys want to come and join us because they're keen for evangelism. They're just not quite sure what to do. And we put them in a little 2-hour crash course, and then we take them out to the beaches or the streets or the shopping malls or whatever, and we'd go do evangelism. And they'd come back with eyes this big, and they couldn't believe how easy it is. And my friend Duval would always do this one specific session on the evangelism, and he'd start with the scripture, and he'd say, John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Can I paraphrase that for you? In this world you will have that. People are not going to like you. In an evangelism context, at times that happens, generally not, but in life, this is unfortunately a problem that we have to deal with. Tribulation, by the way, means an annoying or frustrating or catastrophic event. How's this again? So I want us to embrace this promise that God gives us. You know the word, we'll look at the next scripture now, but don't worry. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, because I want to give you this everlasting promise, as true as any other promise I'm going to give you. In the world, you will have tribulation. Just like my love, Jesus' love, you can't get around it, you can't get over it, you can't get under it. These things are going to smack you in the face. Yaku this morning, I want to encourage you, if you missed this morning session to sermon, to get Yaku's service. Or the sermon that he preached, or the CD, was speaking about sometimes we go through life and it seems like we're just getting clubbed from all sides. Tribulation. Annoying, sometimes frustrating, and sometimes catastrophic. I was at my 10-year reunion on Friday night, which is a really scary thought for those of you that have been there, to realize that I've actually been out of school for almost as long as I was in school. That's scary. 10 years. I know some of you think it's far off. It's not so far off. And some of you think I'm still a baby. Thank you. But I was standing there. We were just chatting to some friends that most of them I haven't seen basically since I left school because I studied quite far and most of them stayed up here. And one of the guys who unfortunately couldn't be there, a mutual friend of ours, was telling us he went to the Air Force, became a helicopter pilot, was in Langebon, met a beautiful girl there, got married, and on the, what is it, a month after the anniversary, this 1-year anniversary, she was a triathlete, and my friend Bruce was a little bit sick in the morning, and he said to her and a friend, you guys go, they went for a cycle, I'm not going to join you today, I'm not feeling so well, you guys go, and she was driving, and she got hit by a truck. And this isn't the guy who's always had strings of girlfriends at school. Just very average Joe. Really nice guy, but very average Joe. Just went through school, probably had 1 or 2 girlfriends, but never really lost his heart. And he felt this girl, found this girl of his dreams, married her, and a year later, brutally taken away. Obviously, and what was so encouraging to me, most of my school friends still don't know Jesus, but that'll change. But it's just so encouraging to me how my friends were testifying to me about how good God is in Bruce's life, because Bruce is also a believer. And they were telling me how his faith has carried him through, and how his belief, and how religious he is, and how that's the only thing that's kept him walking, and how positive he is, and how he's just embracing life and running with life. But an example of what Scripture says, maybe some of us, we need just a wake-up call today. This is a wake-up call. Those things are going to happen. It's life. It's the way life is. We live in a fallen world. things happen. In this world, Jesus has given us a great promise. You will have tribulation. But you're all encouraged and edified. Great, so we can move on to the next scripture. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And here we get this beautiful war principle which is carried through scripture. And we were at cell with the governing board on Wednesday evening. And some of you guys, who's been in church with us here for less than a year? How many of you guys? Wow. Thank you. So most of you would have missed this. But last year, towards I think the end of September, beginning of September, sorry, I felt God laying in my spirit that to preach a specific sermon, which I've been wanting to preach for a long time, about a change of seasons, and specifically snowy, I said maybe in English, a pruning process. And everyone said, yeah, whatever, sounds good. Anyway, that week, people started phoning the office. We're leaving. Anyway, at the end of the year, 30% of our church said, goodbye, we're going down to the beach. Okay? And we were a small church, so it was a big chunk, many of our leaders. So that's kind of the history. And we just kind of made a passing comment at cell on Wednesday evening. And Yaku said, Philip, don't start speaking about seasons, please. Whatever you do, don't go there. I've got bad news for you. I'm not just saying what I'm saying today. I'm saying because I believe that if we never as individuals learn how to win, we're not going to corporately know how to win. And the bad news I have for us, which is maybe even worse bad news than that, actually it's just confirmation of that, is I want to say with fearfully, because it really is a fearful thought, but I really believe God's saying that we're entering into a season of experiencing this. As individuals and corporately. And it was just kind of shoved in my face. Michal, and who was in the office with you? Sofiso, I think. We're in the office busy working, just hanging around. And the lady phoned me to say, sorry, her son's registered for the first year camp. Please take him off. Remove any contact details we have for him. Please never contact him again. I'm like, okay, this is a bit random. Can you just explain to me why? And she wasn't aggressive, but you could hear she just wanted to end this conversation. Asking her some questions. No, we're a sect. She doesn't want everyone to come near us again because we've got these weird, crazy doctrines. And it's just the way we do church. She doesn't want her child anywhere near us bunch of freaks. And that was very much close to the words she used. Explaining to us all the stuff we do. And I was just like, where do you get this from? Please, on that point, just I'm being serious. On the internet, you guys might have noticed there are a whole bunch of not such nice stuff about Shofar. Anyone notice that? Anyone read it? Okay. Guys, if you really want to know what those articles are, please contact us. We'll forward them to you. Okay. I don't mind you reading them. It's a bunch of rubbish anyway. You'll laugh when you read it. We have 7 levels in Shofar. Let me just, so you guys know, so I can just make sure that everyone is on the same sect page as I am. Okay. We have 7 levels in Shofar. And you can only go out with somebody who is on the same level as you. Okay? And if you get to like level 6 and 7 and you haven't found someone on the same level as you, we as pastors make it our responsibility to tell you who your husband and your wife is going to be. Anyway, you can read this all on the internet. It's common knowledge. If you go Google it, you'll find it. But please, I want to ask you a favor. Please don't Google it. For a very practical reason, if you do Google it and you click on those links, Google picks up that these links are sort of active and it's interesting stuff, and it moves it up their ranking order. Which means that if someone who wants to send their child to campus or whatever, or maybe one of your parents goes and Google Shofar, this is the stuff they're going to read. Okay, and I'm convinced 90% of the people who read those things a Shofar people anyway. So if we can just sort of spread the word, if you want to know what the articles say, it's not that we don't want you to know what people are saying about us, although you probably don't want to know anyway, it's just going to make you upset. If you want to know, we'll email you the articles, because we've got copies of all of that. I'm not going to edit it and edit stuff out. You guys, does it make sense? The more you click on the Google link, the higher up it goes. Okay, and we want it kind of number 79 or something. Where no one's ever going to read that rubbish again. Can't remember how I got onto the topic? Sorry? More bad news. Okay. The bad news, we must. You know the word must? Must. Oh, what I was saying is persecution is coming. Persecution must come. So, prepare yourself, brace yourself. My good friend Deval again, I come from Vrystaat, Virginia. I bought by Plat Afrikaans. And we were on our way to do some missions trip, and we always have fast, and we decided we were going to do a 5-day fast. And then, how are we going to do this? And were people going to fall out because they were scared of the fast? And Deval just got up and said, actually, anyone needs to sit off my spine. Okay. So, I want to say to you guys, buckle your seatbelts for the next while. I pray that I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But something inside of me says I'm not. Okay? It's going to get a little bit bumpy, but this is where the fun comes in. It's what I'm going to get to now. But it's important for us to understand that when the bumps do come, we mustn't now think the wheels are falling off, everything's going wrong. On the contrary, we are exactly in the will of God. Because Jesus said, now therefore, you must endure hardships. You know something about must? Must is a compulsive term, a term of compulsion. Must does not leave you with an option. You and I must endure hardships. And then, you guys encouraged? You ready for the sermon? Okay, but wait, one more. It gets worse. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. These aren't the scriptures we normally like preaching about, but they are in the Bible, so we do need to read them every now and again. This is the type of stuff when you're reading and you're having a bad day, you kind of just skip and you carry on onwards, okay? But we need to stop, take time, and look at them a bit. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And that's why we pray for them. Because the more people that get saved, the less people on our case. Because that's not please don't misunderstand me, that was a joke. That's not why we pray for people to get saved. It's not to get them off our back. Otherwise I'm gonna read about that somewhere on an internet site again tomorrow. That the only reason we want people to get saved is for our own personal gratification. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. It's really important for us to understand and to embrace these scriptures, because they are as much promises of God as the fact that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, as the fact that He is the God who heals, that He is our provider, the same promises, the same God. We just sometimes like holding on to some promises more than others. But as Christians, we need to understand that life happens. Tribulation comes. Catastrophic, frustrating, and irritating times are going to come. Those events are going to be there. And it's not that we're now all of a sudden completely out of the will of God. Sometimes when we get out of the will of God, yes, the devil gives us a big club. But sometimes within the will of God, and that's what we're going to look at now, we need to understand, and Jakob mentioned it this morning again, that the moment we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we choose sides. You know, many people don't understand this. Sometimes we have people who specifically choose against God, and we have people who specifically choose for God. But Jesus said, you're either for me, or you are against me. There is no sort of neutral ground. If we haven't explicitly chosen for Jesus, then implicitly we've chosen against Jesus. Which is a really sad and a scary realization to come to many times. But we need to make the decision for Jesus. When we come to salvation, we make that decision. And when we do that, and that's why it's so important. That's why when people respond to altar calls, when people come to salvation, it's so important that we draw them into cell groups, that we draw them into foundations, that we get them to Bible school to equip them. Because the very moment we make that decision for Jesus, we step into a battlefield and we step into a firing ground. And we take a big can of paint, if you want, and we make a big target. And we say, I'm a target for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm all yours. Hit me here all the time. The only problem is, the devil aims for the same target. And he doesn't play fair. He's a bit like the Aussies. We were playing, after the Hillsong stuff last night with some of the Aussie guys, we were playing cricket and then we played touch rugby. But they've got different touch rugby rules to our touch rugby rules. So they were getting really upset with us because they think we're cheating. And we're not trying to cheat, we just don't know their rules. Seriously. So we had to say, guys, just calm down, don't get aggressive. We all love Jesus here. But we just don't know the rules. Explain the rules and give us a bit of grace to figure them out. But you know, Satan doesn't care about rules. He comes in any funny, evil way he can. And he has a desire to take us out. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about you as much as he cares about what we represent. So I want to preach about it. But you know, Jesus comes, actually God the Father, and he says an interesting thing to Eve. He says, Eve, the devil isn't going to hate you. He's going to hate your seed. He's going to hate that which you represent. He's going to hate that which is reproductive, that which brings forth life. That ability to reproduce. And that's one of the such sad things about this whole homosexual movement, is it takes away from this heart of God to bring life. It's a dead relationship. It cannot reproduce. And Scripture says, not that Satan and the serpent is going to be against Eve, but against her seed. And then through Scripture, we read many times, and in the New Testament, and come to Bible school, we try to explain it to you. Seed with the capital letter. Speaking about the seed of Abraham, something specific, who will come against Jesus. Who will come against Satan. But we need to understand that we step into this firing line, and we don't have a choice. Satan hates what we represent for the cause of Christ. And he will do everything in his power to remove us. But luckily, he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. This evening I'm wanting to speak about a victorious spirit. I'm not wanting to instill fear. But I'm wanting us to have a realistic expectation of what is to come. And then maybe give us one or two tools as to how to equip it individually and corporately. Okay, we will be hated by the world. The Bible says something is wrong when all people speak well of you. Something is wrong. So the fact, Francis Chan, big pastor in America, you know, he had a situation in church and kind of left church and he came back. We'll show you the DVD at First Year Bible School. And then he came back and he was sitting there and some people, and he started preaching just what God laid on his heart. And some people said, Francis, we're leaving your church. Francis this, Francis that, Francis whatever, Francis, we're going. And he was like, yes, I'm doing something right again, because Scripture says, beware when all men speak well of you. And that's something contrary to what we often want to do as Christians. We so want to compromise on what is truth because we want people to like us and we want people to like what we're saying. But Scripture says, don't go that way. There's another teaching we could get into now, but the way of compromise is the way of failure. So let's move away from the bad news and let's look towards the good news. I love this. And this is a scripture many of us can make our own, and I want to encourage, if you struggle to have victory, start meditating on this scripture. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. No matter what the situation, we'll get to those scriptures now. In every situation, we can stop and we can say, Jesus, thank you that I already have the victory. Not because I'm clever, not because I'm smart, but because you give me the victory. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. You know these people who just seem to have plain sailing situations through their life? It's not that they don't have issues, they just know how to overcome them. I was in with a bunch of friends at some stage, two friends, and they just started coming together and we did a preparation tour around the country and these two guys were there. And every single day, they just started going out romantically, this guy and this girl, every single day on the tour for 20 days, there was an issue, there was a fight, there was a problem. And you know, there wasn't so much that there was a problem as that they had a problem. They had some sort of emotional need to have an issue. There was always an issue. And I thank God they've both gone on and God's really dealt with them powerfully, and the one's a pastor now in our chauffeur group, and yet to come to this realization, you know, sometimes I can just sit back and enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with having a victory. We need to learn to win. Winning is a habit. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory at all times. 2 Corinthians 2. Now thanks be to God who always... Are there any linguists here? Anyone who's like a linguist? What does always time-wise not include? Is there anything that always time-wise does not include? Not at all. Always is always. Every situation and any time, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are victors. We are overcomers through Him who loved us. That word more than conquerors, or that word that's translated more than conquerors, is a Greek word, hupernikao. Not sure about the translation, but it's hyper. It's the same word which would use for a javelin thrower who would run and throw a javelin and he would go beyond the mark. He would be more than a conqueror. Something that we as Christians should have as fundamentally part of our lives, that in every situation, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Now thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The second scripture, at all times, He always leads us in triumph. The third one here in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I want to tell you here today, if you're struggling with your depression, it's unscriptural. If you're struggling with your sickness, it's unscriptural. If you're struggling with your finances, it's unscriptural. We should come and you should sort out and find out and say, Lord, what's going on here? Why am I not now being more than a conqueror? You know what I love about God? Can I tell you a short testimony? I love lots of stuff about God. But just financially, just send someone who needs to hear it. I had a nice car which my dad gave me. Had it for 5 years. One day was driving home from work. Quickly just rewind. Had it insured at an insurance company. And just decided I'm going to just get new quotes. Maybe I can get my car insured for a bit cheaper. Got my car insured for a bit cheaper. And didn't pay much attention. It was just quickly something I just felt I must do. And I did it. My insurance started on the first of the month at the new company. The second of that month, it might have been the third, I'm not sure. The second or the third of that month, I was driving home. The car stopped on the highway. I stopped and a lady smashed into the back of me and wrote my car off. Not very cool. But, picked up the phone, found out, because now in the back of my mind I'm thinking, maybe I can still claim from both insurance companies. You know, I can be clever here. So I phoned the one insurance company where I'd been at, and I found out there I'd been insured at book value, Which one's higher, book or market? I can never remember. Market value. Market value is higher than book value. Yeah. I'd been insured at book value, whatever, the lower one. I'd been insured there. From the other company, I said, no, you've been insured at market value, which is higher. I said, great, I'll claim with you. Which was, anyway, the company that I was meant to claim at, because they were the company that I just changed 2 days prior to their insurance company. And it was a significant amount. It was at least 5 figures, the difference between the two numbers. God provides for us in weird circumstances. He knew I was going to have a situation which potentially was going to be catastrophic. But yet, God provided for me financially so that I could buy this new funky new diesel I have. And diesels are cool. You pay a heck of a lot less on fuel if you have a diesel. No, Michal. At all things, we are more than conquerors. Please put this in context. It doesn't mean tribulations are not going to come. It doesn't mean the stuff is not going to go wrong. It means in the midst of that. Got a beautiful song which I still want us to sing. Sang it last night. In every season, I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Doesn't matter what stage of life I'm in. Doesn't matter if it's going well or if it's going badly. I've got a reason to sing. I've got a reason to worship. And then, importantly, before we're going to get a little bit more practical about this, it's important for us to understand that we are not victorious because we are such cool Christians. We are not victorious because we're so clever or we're so smart. You know, Gideon, a great example of somebody who was not a victor. He was a man who was used to failure. He was used to losing. And God came and spoke a word over him, and suddenly Gideon became used to winning. Immediately he made that switch from the habit of losing to the habit of winning. God comes to him, Jesus himself, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, and it's capital letters and stuff, and if you look at it theologically, that's Jesus himself. It's called an epiphany. Sorry, not epiphany. A theophany. Jesus appearing in the flesh in the Old Testament appears to Gideon. And he walks up to Gideon and he says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon is, I've got a cousin Gideon, you're probably looking for him. Because it's not me. I'm from the smallest tribe, the smallest clan, the smallest family. I can't do anything. I'm always losing. And God says, no, Gideon. Let's understand something here. When I ordain you to be a mighty man of valor, you are a mighty man of valor. David had a gift to take losers and make them winners. You know those 400 mighty men we read about from David? They were losers. Why do I say that? Because David went by himself because Saul was trying to kill him, and he went and lived in caves. And scripture says all the stragglers, all the outcasts, everybody who couldn't stay with their family because they'd done something wrong, they all went and they lent and they stayed in the caves with David. They weren't kind of the socially brilliant people who were just kind of running with everything they needed to do. They weren't the great businessmen of their time. They weren't the great warriors. They were the dropouts in life. And they went and they stayed with David. And David had this mighty man understanding. And he took these people who had a habit of being losers and he taught them to be winners. He taught them to have a victorious spirit. And from there, these are the great men that we read about. These guys who would run by themselves, the one guy, whole day long he was fighting one of these mighty men who used to be a loser, and he ran to the Philistines and he chopped their head off all day until his hand had actually stuck to the sword. He couldn't get his hand off the sword because his hand had just kind of almost cramped in that position because he'd been fighting so long, and I don't know how many people he killed. Another guy went and he ran, and within I think an acre of space he killed 20 odd people by himself. I don't know how that happens. Have you guys ever seen like The Matrix? It's like one guy and Agent Smith everywhere. And somehow Neo manages to keep clapping Agent Smith and he survives. It's a bit like that. 20-1 and this guy wins. David had managed to transform something inside of him and teach him to be a winner. We are not out of our own strength. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Powerful scripture. If the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Jesus knew what it means to win. He overcame death. He defeated in all these things. For Jesus, death included, He was more than a conqueror. He was led in triumph and He defeated death. And before the time, I was just listening to the song and I thought I might as well play it to try and get everyone in, because church is meant to start at 6 o'clock, by the way. Any of you guys missed that? Church starts at 6 o'clock. Anyway, so I played the song. David Crowder sings a really cool song. And he says, the song is just called, We Win. It's kind of just a prophetic declaration to anyone in their spiritual realm who might care to listen. Devil, by the way, we win. He sings, we're going to shout loud, loud, loud until the walls fall down, because we've already won. Doesn't matter what's going on now. I've read the book. We win. It's an old saying. If the devil comes to remind you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Always works. But we win because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives and dwells in us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now that word fear is a little bit of a difficult word to translate from the Greek, because it's not fear in the way we understand fear. It's more of an intimidation type of fear. More of a, I can't do this type of fear. More of a, God has called me to overcome, but I can't overcome because I'm fearful. Does that make sense? It's not about walking around at night or spiders or stuff. It's not that type of fear. It's an intimidation type of fear that it speaks about. Many of the, I think the NIV translated as timidity. We have not been given a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Winning is a habit. So is overcoming. As we mentioned earlier, so is losing. What's so powerful about this is when we have that Spirit dwelling inside of us, He always causes us to win. Okay, you guys getting a little bit more encouraged. The good news is better than the bad news. Amen? And then it's just important to understand what our battle is. Anyone here read Frank Beretti's books? Specifically, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. Andre still got mine. He was in Luatla for a month and I gave him mine. If you ever get a hold of those books, it's fiction, but I want to encourage you to read them. There's stories about an angel, actually an angel general by the name of Tal, and his angel legions, and about these small towns in America, and they're fighting kind of education things and abortion things. And the whole book is written in the spiritual dimension of how these angels come and how the demonic forces come breathing sulfur, and it's brilliantly written. And how these angels and the demons come and they fight, and then the saints come together at the church and they start praying. And as they start praying, it's as if new life gets breathed into these angels and they just wipe out all the demons. And obviously in the end, because kind of it's a biblical book, so we win, you know. But I remember I read those books. I think I was late primary school, early high school, not saved at all. But it just gave me such an understanding of what happens in the script, in the spiritual. And please, it's this guy's opinion. It's not necessarily all doctrine. But I really think if you read it as a fiction book, it gives us such an insight into script, into the spiritual realm, the realm above. And you know something? We've got another session. I've got to finish quickly because we've got a Foundation 4 session. Foundation 4, more than anything else, is about teaching people to win. Teaching us to look at our circumstances and to say, no longer I'm going to struggle with this nonsense, but I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me who raised Him from the dead. So I am more than a conqueror. And I'm going to begin to walk and enforce that victory that Jesus has already won. And Frank Peretti writes it so beautifully, just a spiritual battle. And it says here, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When this lady phoned me, I didn't get in a fight with her. I just asked kind of where she got her information from and just asked her politely to send me an email about her concerns. I'd love to be able to reply to them. But I understand that my battle is not against her. It's not against the person Our battle is not against flesh and blood. The son is still going to get saved and come to this church. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know why we come together once a month on a Thursday to do intercession? Because of this principle. You know why we sometimes do prophetic declarations and we go out and we do spring days and we spend a lot of money on it? Because of this principle. Because we do not wrestle against people and individuals. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Don't have time to go into all of that. We explain that for you at Bible school. But we must understand, when people come against us, it's no point us moving against those people. And at times, it might be necessary because those people might become agents of these hosts. But our anger, our frustration is never pointed at these people. We always love people. No matter how much headache that will cause for the kingdom. We always pray that they get saved first. If they don't want to bow the name to Jesus, then we pray that God removes them if they're positions of influence. For the sake of His kingdom, we've done it many times. And every time God has come through for us. Because His kingdom needs to advance. And when there are people obstructing His kingdom, we'll pray for them to have a revelation, or we'll pray for them to get removed. But our first desire is for them to get saved, rather. That God would use them in the position they're at. Many times, God removes them, that His kingdom would get advanced, but we keep praying for them, that they come to salvation. But we don't get angry and upset with the people. We always, always love people. Okay? I'm going to finish off soon. I just quickly want to give us sort of four tips, four keys to walking in victory. Four keys to becoming a winner. Maybe you're here this evening or you know of somebody who just seems to have got stuck in this rut, this habit of losing. How do I go away from this habit of losing and transform my life around into a habit of winning? The first one is to embrace God's purpose. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Many times we pray and many times we speak and we say, and there is a place for this. Please don't misunderstand me. But many times we say that I'm so glad God is on my side. You know, God is with me. God is for me. And that's right to an extent. You know, the real question should be, am I for God? Am I with God? Is God for me or am I for God? And it's a subtle shift, but it's an important shift we need to make. We need to embrace this understanding that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Unfortunately, I know in my life as well, there's many stuff we're busy with that's not really born of God. And what we need to do and we need to make priority is to say, God, what in your life, in my life, is born of you, God? And I'm going to pursue those things. God, what in my life is meant to be born, but it's not even born yet. And I'm going to pray those things into being, that they spiritually may become born. Is God on my side, or am I on His side? Such an important paradigm shift we maybe need to make. And please, there is that place. We sing a beautiful song as well. If my God is for me, who can be against me? But you know, that's the exception. The rule is, I am for God. And if I'm for God, then obviously He's for me. We're on the same team. But it's not about God making sure my purpose has come to pass. It's me making sure God's purpose has come to pass. Important shift we need to make. Secondly, and I think this is where the breakdown comes many, many times. When I go back to that first scripture, we had John 16:33. It's the next slide. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Your mood is your choice. How you respond to your circumstances is your choice. I'm so blessed by Christo and Esther. Many of you will know they were in an armed assault and robbery recently. The way they've chosen to be of good cheer. You know, we can choose to focus on the negatives in our lives. We can choose to focus on everything that's always going wrong. Or we can choose to focus on the positives. It's something that the Americans and the Australians get right. And we many times perceive it as arrogance, but it's not. They just focus on what goes right. And they don't pay too much attention on what goes wrong. And the stuff they can't do, they don't really care too much about. If it's important, they'll sort of figure out a way to make it happen. But they're going to celebrate that which they get right. You know, South Africans, Springboks thumped England. They've already won. But a week from now, and you pick up papers, I'll tell you 75 to 90% of what you're going to read about the Springbok rugby team is going to be negative. It's something in our South African psyche that we're always focusing on what is bad. The South African cricket team went for ages, ended at the end of last year, number one, one-day team in the world, number two, test cricket team in the world, we're number two if we beat Bangladesh again, which we should by the end of this week. We'll be number two, test playing nation, number two, one-day team again. We were in England in our last tour. We beat them in England for the first time since the 1960s in the test series. And everybody was greatest team ever. We didn't do so well in the one-days. And all of a sudden, nobody cares about how we just thumped them in the test matches. In England, on their own home soil, for the first time in, I think, 2 decades that they lost a series at home. Something in our psyche likes focusing on the negatives. But as Christians, we need to make this mind shift and this change, and we need to say, I'm going to focus on the positive. To use a simple analogy, Danetta had a flat tire today on her car, and we had to change the tire. And she was worried about it at some stage. I said, Janetta, tires get flat. It's part of their life cycle. They get flat. We fix them. We pump them up. And then, after a while, we throw them away and we get a new tire. We're not going to break our head about why the tire is flat. Did we drive over something to cause a flat? If you've got a flat tire every day, problem. If you've got a flat tire once a year, stop and change the tire and carry on driving. But many of us go through life and we get a flat tire and suddenly everything must stop. Everything, the gates of hell are coming against me. Problem, I've got a flat tire in my life, the wheels are coming off. And we laugh at it, but there's some people who go through life like that. Every little thing that goes wrong is a gigantic issue that must now be sorted out. And I'm convinced 95% of the issues will be sorted out if they just forget about them tomorrow. Just wake up tomorrow and say, oh, I had a flat tire yesterday, but it's fixed, I'm driving again. And not even think about the flat tire again. They just wouldn't have that burden on them anymore. We need to get into this habit where Scripture says, be of good cheer. Don't let your circumstances determine your day. If you arrive at work at 8 o'clock and you get an email and it's chaotic, something has just gone horribly wrong, be of good cheer. Find something good in the email and focus on that and sort out the problem later. Or just delete the email. Don't dwell on the negatives. The third one, which goes on to that one, choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Life is a choice. Happiness is a choice. One of my favorite preachers is a man by the name of Tim Story, and he always speaks about when he tells stories and he says, and I was in a good mood on purpose. He makes a decision to be in a good mood. I'm going to step on some people's toes now, but it's fine. You know, some of us say we're not mourning people. Can I submit, just make a decision to be a mourning person and you'll be a mourning person. If you make a decision to get out of bed and to smile, you're probably going to enjoy the morning a heck of a lot more. It doesn't mean that it's the best time of the day. It doesn't mean that you're not going to jump up and down for joy because you've just woken up. But make a decision to say, David, I think David probably was a morning person. Not a morning person. But I think because he's not a morning person, One day he went out and he took his pen because he says his pen is like a tongue of his tongue is like a pen of a ready writer. And he realized he was a struggle. He had a struggle, and he writes there, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And he makes a decision to say, "It's early. I'm tired. I've got a long day, but I'm choosing to enjoy this day. I'm choosing to celebrate this day." I just won't say any more about that. It's a choice to win. It's a choice to enjoy life. We can choose to lose, and that rhymes, so forget about it, but we can choose to win. This evening I want to hold before us, let's be people who in every situation, always, at all times, choose to win. If tomorrow something comes out corporately in the newspaper that says we're the biggest bunch of freaks ever and 17 lies about us, yes, we'll sort it out. Yes, we'll do what needs to be done for the sake of the kingdom and for the protection of the bride of Christ. But let's choose to enjoy. Let's choose not to focus on it and get all depressed about it. If in your own life something goes wrong, choose to enjoy it. Be like my friend Bruce, how everybody else is just amazed at how positive he is about life despite having lost his wife. Choose life. I hold before you this day, blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. And then the last one, which ties in as well. What's your verbal culture? You know, we've got such a bad verbal culture, many of us. Once again, it's an African thing. We love breaking people down. We love telling people how bad and how useless they are. It's something that challenged me when I was in Australia again, because they get this right. They have a good laugh at someone and they'll joke at him, and if someone messes up, they'll let him understand really well that he's messed up, kind of in a fun way, just like we do. But then every time, they'll stop and they'll make sure the guy understands that they actually care about him. And they love him. And they won't break him down, but they'll joke with the guy. And I think many times we miss that. We break the guy down. We want to just make a joke, but he experiences it being broken down. And we need to trust God for a positive verbal culture. I was telling the guys, got a group of guys that we've been seeing and sort of doing ministry training with, and been giving them some CDs to listen to. And the speaker there, I told him, listen to his verbal culture. He's always speaking up at people. He's always positive in what he says. He's never breaking people down. It doesn't matter what goes wrong. He's got a positive verbal culture. And he's a pastor of pastor of Hillsong, one of the biggest churches in the world at the moment. And the reason why everything around him flourishes, he's learned to win. And I can promise you, it's not because he's never had setbacks. It's not because stuff has never gone wrong in his life. He's learned to speak life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perverseness in your tongue breaks the spirit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. David prays at one stage. He says, God, put a guard before my mouth. Let me not say stupid things, but at the same time, let me not say dead things, life-destroying things. Let me not say stuff which is going to make me lose. Let my culture be a winning culture. And then the last scripture about the tongue again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. If the band can come so long, please. See how great a fire a little forest, how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. If we come to a place where we've learned to win in our spirits and in our hearts, it's going to flow out through our mouths. We're going to speak positively. We're going to speak life. But at the same time, there comes a place where we have to choose to speak life. Where something goes wrong, where we wake up and we have that bad day, we get that bad email, and we make a decision and we say, today I choose to enjoy today. Today I'm going to choose to win. God, I don't quite know what this solution is. It's a big problem. This isn't just any old problem. This is a serious business issue that I have here, a serious relational issue, a serious financial issue. But God, your word says that in all things, I am more than a conqueror. Lord, your word says that you always lead me in triumph. That in all things, you give me the victory. So God, I take this thing and I submit it to you. And God, respectfully, I say, it's your problem. Because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And I'd like us to stand. And then I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to ask, maybe you're here this evening and there's a specific area in your life that you're trusting God for breakthrough for. Or maybe you're honest with yourself, you're a little bit in this habit of losing and you need to make a transition to the habit of winning. I want to challenge you. And please, guys, don't misunderstand this. We don't call you forward so we can have a whole bunch of people in front. We call you forward because it's a prophetic action. We call you forward, Scripture says, so that we can get people to pray with you, to put our faith with you. As a church, we don't want to live in a culture of individuality. We want to tap into the corporate culture, the corporate anointing that God gives us. So I'm going to ask as we sing this next song, if there's a specific area that you need victory in, or just generally in life, you need to come to a place of victory. I'm going to ask you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. And we're going to trust God for the effective working of that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead to be in you. Because the same power that conquered the grave lives in you and lives in me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, this evening for your truth, God. God, I thank you that we can come and we can stand on your word that says we always have the victory in all things, Lord God. God, that we can say this evening, God, that we are more than conquerors, not in our own strength, but in the power of the living God who we serve. Because the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. His love that rescued the soul, my soul, and his love that rescued the earth lives in me. Let's sing the song as a declaration, and if you need to come forward, you can come forward and we're going to pray with you.